A little after four, get the meeting of State Government Finance started here. And we don't have minutes from the previous meeting. We'll get those at the next meeting. And an agenda in front of me, so I got it here. I just didn't grab it. Members, roll call of members is being taken. The only bill is Representative Howard here. The only bill we have in our our business tonight is House File 3100, the insulin bill. And to start out with, I'll move House File 3100 to get it before us in the committee. And we have a small oral amendment that I'm going to do. And the oral amendment is on page 16. Take out Section D, so that'd be line 1605 to 1612, to delete that section from the bill. That's the dollars that we don't deal with, and the rest of that can be dealt with in HHS, where the money's coming from. So, members, do we have everybody understand what we're doing here? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if you could maybe detail, it's a blank appropriation, and I won't make a joke about a box of dots, but I did. If you could maybe help me understand, does that indeed come from the HHS budget? And if so, why is it being deleted here, I guess?
My understanding is that it's, yes, that it does come from the HHS budget, so it's not ours. And Representative Howard, do you want to answer that? Or?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In particular, with the Department of Administration, we have $400,000 included in this bill that's called out. As we were having conversations, we had language that would perhaps capture additional funds if necessary and pay that through the Healthcare Access Fund, thus the PN manufacturers. We don't think that is necessary, and so it can come out of the bill.
Okay.
That is your. Are you shaking your head?
Well, mostly, yeah. Sure. But thank you, Mr. Chair.
But again, that's the health. It's not in our budget. It's in the HHS budget that's going to be dealing with that, not us.
And Mr. Chair, I guess the last question regarding that is that
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Howard, is that something that you envision being put back in when you get back to the next committee, or will you have a fiscal note by then, or
Representative Howard? Curious.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nash. I don't anticipate the piece about the Department of Administration will be put back in. We will be looking at resources to Minsure. We'll need a fiscal note to do that, and we should have that by the time we're in HHS Finance.
Okay. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I'm not mistaken, this committee does oversee when healthcare access funds are utilized by the different departments that we oversee. And I do remember that in past terms, when we've had the Department of Administration and other departments submitting their budget, there is discussion on all the different funds flowing into them.
I'm listening.
Okay. And frankly, I think it's, if we do end up seeing that this bill has funds put back into it, they're going to that department under our jurisdiction, I would anticipate that we would see this bill again to be able to discuss that.
Representative Quam, the admin funds portion that was in here, the first .. in 1605 would have been admin funds, and those are not coming back. And that these funds, even though we do have some touching of that, it would not come out of our target that we would have, so it would not come out of our budget, portion of the budget, so therefore it does not need to come back to us if they deal with the second piece of that having to do with the health access fund.
So, Mr. Chair, you're reassuring us that the Department of Administration will not be receiving funding if this part is put back in.
That's correct. Representative Quam, yeah, they are the part on the previous page 15, the appropriations part. There's $400,000, as I read the bill, going to the health from the health access fund to the Department of Administration. That's the money they're getting, and that's still in the bill.
Okay, so I have your assurance that if the part that is being deleted in this committee, because it has the dots and it's not sure what the funds will be, that when it's determined and a fiscal note arrives, that if that is put back into the bill, that would either be in this committee or once it was put back in the bill, this would return to the committee so we could do our due diligence in this committee.
Representative Clum, it's my understanding that the part of the bill that's going out and any tweaking has to do would deal with the Health and Human Services budget, not our budget, so we will not need to see the bill again.
Thank you for the reassurance.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Howard, why don't you present your bill? Again, it's, and the members, we're going to try and keep this focused. It's, like I said, the reason why it's here is because of Section 13, I believe, is the only section we have. And I'm looking at here, but it's having to do with the appropriations and admin and them setting up a third-party administrator to administrate this and overseeing that. But that's the part that we have purview over. And if you can keep your questions to that. Oh, we'll have to vote on the oral amendment before we go. But that's the part we have access about tonight. So, members, again, on the oral amendment, I'll repeat the oral amendment to House File 3100 is delete Section D on page 16. That'd be lines 16.5 to 16.12. All in favor of the oral amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Representative Howard, if you want to describe your bill, and again, keep it to the part that we have purview over in our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the Alex Smith Insulin Affordability Act. This body saw a version of this bill last session. The House passed the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act. As you recall, it did not clear the Senate. In the months of the interim, a bipartisan group of legislators continued to meet and work on this bill, and we've made some progress in that vein, and the bill you have here today includes good ideas from both Democrats and Republicans and represents a strong bill that can help us ensure that no Minnesotan loses their life because they can't afford the insulin they need to survive. In particular, a key linchpin to passing a strong bill that is a life-saving safety net for folks is to make sure that a Minnesotan who is rationing or could be rationing their insulin has a path to get their insulin when they need it. We've had patients testify that in a matter of hours, if they're out of insulin, they could slip into DKA and pass away, just like Alec did, and just like two more Minnesotans have passed away because they couldn't afford their insulin since the session adjourned. But the Department of Administration's role will be to administer a contract with a third-party administrator. And why that's very important is a third-party administrator will handle the claims processing at the pharmacy level. So what that means is a Minnesotan who is eligible for the program and is at risk of, that they need their insulin, they can't afford it, they can apply. They can, at their pharmacy, receive an emergency supply of insulin. The TPA, the third-party administrator, will process that claim so that the pharmacist can be reimbursed immediately and that we can have the network of pharmacists available to ensure Minnesotans can get the insulin they need. The Department of Administration will simply be managing that contract as they manage contracts with other entities. What this arrangement allows us to do is, like I said, a linchpin of this and what has been, from a bipartisan perspective, something that folks have agreed to, that we should make sure that if someone can't afford their insulin, they're at risk of rationing, they're at risk of death. We should find a way to get insulin in their hands as soon as possible. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd respond to any questions.
And thank you, Rupert. Any questions? And just so I think I misspoke before, Section 1 has to do with setting up that program. That's that we have purview over. And it's so Section 1 and 13 that are our part of the bill. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So a couple of questions regarding funding and then setting up and administering. You know that I'm going to ask an IT question because I'm wondering, is the $400,000 appropriation, is there any technology acquisition or development or anything that is going to touch the state at all? And if so, is that part of your $400,000 one-time appropriation?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nash, no. That $400,000 will be utilized for setup for the Department of Admin and to administer a contract with a TPA. And you bring up a great point about IT. One of the big reasons we're going this route is because we're able to contract with an entity that does this. This is how basically all pharmacy claims are processed. So we're utilizing a contract with a third-party administrator that doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. They can utilize the infrastructure that they have in place to get something up and running quickly that we can have a high level of confidence. And it doesn't require the state to have a role in building any new IT under the Department of Administration.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would like to believe you, but I just know that pretty much everything we do does eventually create some relationship with the state from a tech perspective. And this is an important thing, right? We all agree that this is an important issue. I would encourage you to dig as deeply as possible as you can into the nerdy parts of the bill. You know, the conversation around getting insulin into the hands of the people that need it, we all agree that that's important. But I think you've been around me long enough to know that I'm going to ask the nerdy stuff. I can't imagine that there isn't going to be some interaction that requires that. And any requirement of tech as it relates to touching or interacting with the state is going to require an appropriation. So, I mean, you've probably been around long enough to realize that departments just don't absorb things for the good of the whole. They're going to want to get some dollars from somewhere. So that's my question, and I would be surprised if that could fit inside your $400,000.
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nash, the specific to the $400,000 is the managing the relationship with the third-party administrator to do the processing. There will be interaction with Minsher. They will house on their website the application form. It's a basic application form on their website. So there is some interaction there on that side. But with the Department of Administration, we're working with a third-party administrator, and there shouldn't be interaction from the IT perspective with the state.
Representative Nash.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I won't beat the dead horse. It's already dead mostly, but maybe we can talk in my office.
Sure.
So everybody knows that Minsher was a Minute project, so there's going to be some interaction with Minute on this. It just doesn't happen. So there's going to be an interaction, and I encourage you look into that more deeply because you're going to be surprised. I almost guarantee it. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll be done for now.
Any other questions? Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize for my lateness. I understand that Section 13 has been entirely deleted?
No.
Or is it just from 16.1, 16.5 through 16.12?
That's correct.
Thank you. So with that in mind, Representative Howard, help me understand why, when it comes to a fiscal note on a flag program that Representative Hewitt is carrying, and we deliberate about $30,000 being carried by the administration portion agency, but yet they have no problem taking care of this program with legitimate reasons to believe that this is going to run into the millions of dollars.
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Albright, I'm not familiar with Representative Hewitt's bill. Kind of as I mentioned to Representative Nash, I'm not sure if you're here, we're asking the Department of Administration to manage a contract with a third-party administrator, and a third-party administrator that does this work, that knows how to manage pharmacy processing fees. There isn't a large-scale program of any kind that's being created. They're simply managing a contract, and we've had many conversations to make sure that we're providing the resources we need to accomplish that.
And Representative Albright, I don't believe you were here when he mentioned it, but he said this section of the bill, the reason it was in, that they thought they would need, admin thought they need additional money, and they've now said, no, they don't need that section of the bill. They don't need that money, because if you look on the previous page on 15.23, they're already getting $400,000 to do this. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Howard. You have spoken in other committees where I have been present with regard to the implementation of a third-party vendor to put this together. And in the timeline that, with the urgency that you speak of often, even with expedited processing of this, how can you legitimately lay claim to have this up and running, say, within the next 9 months?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Albright, we'll have it up sooner than then. The bill calls for the program to be up and running by July 1st, and it has as a provision, actually, if we have our ducks in a row, to get it stood up sooner. And again, the big reasons are specific to the Department of Administration piece is we're not asking folks to reinvent the wheel. We're utilizing the existing way that pharmacists are reimbursed and a contract with the Department of Administration to accomplish that.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So legitimately, you're going to put together an RFP for probably, it sounds like, a vendor and have them respond and have this up and running in by the 1st of July.
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Albright, we've had
zero cost to the administration.
Representative.
The $400,000 will cover the cost of the Department of Administration to manage the contract with the TPA. They've been working on this. We've been having conversations, and we believe that, yes, that it'll be up and running.
Mr. Chair, Representative Howard, is there a single vendor that you've been contacting with? And if so, are you at liberty to share with the members around this table the name of that vendor? And if so, also, do they have an understanding and have they a history with establishing these types of programs? And if so, where?
Representative Albright.
That's Howard.
Representative Howard, yes.
Representative Albright.
Representative Howard.
I have not personally been involved in those discussions. I know that the Department of Administration has been gathering information about how to put this contract together, but I do not think a specific vendor has been selected, from my understanding.
Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, is anyone from the Department of Administration in the audience?
I see someone coming down.
Nope.
Nope.
Go ahead.
Is there? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the tape and see if you can, maybe you can answer the question or have him repeat it if you'd like.
Lenore Madigan, Department of Administration, Deputy Commissioner. Could you repeat the question, please?
Representative Albright.
Deputy Commissioner, there is a host of information in here describing a contracting arrangement pursuant to the reimbursement of fees under this scheme, if you will. And I'm just curious what preparations have made, if it's a single vendor, what contractual language do they have in there for performance clauses, when will it be available to the public to understand what the state is endeavoring to accomplish?
Ms. Madigan.
Chair members, the Department of Administration has not entered into any contract negotiations with a vendor. We have had conversations with providers to understand the framework. We are expecting that there'll be an exclusion to the bidding so that we can deal directly with a vendor as we move forward, and that is how it would be available by July 1st.
Ms. Madigan, and my understanding from reading the bill, this is for the initial contract. Going forward, we would not be subject, they'd be subject to the normal bidding process.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, it's just the initial contract would be, it's 16C06 is a specific citation that we would need an exemption from.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Madigan, under those auspices, how many vendors have you been in contact with, and what is the history of those vendors dealing with a program such as this nature?
Ms. Madigan.
Chair, members, the department administration has been primarily talking with one vendor who has under contract with the state already, and to learn about the program. And it's a large company, and I understand that TPAs have great experience with setting up programs that are different because they're constantly dealing with insurance companies and the bidding, whatever their requirements are in the insurance.
Representative Albright.
So, Ms. Madigan, when you said when you've been speaking with others, it's really just one TPA of a national concern?
Primarily, yes.
All right.
Excuse me.
And in the context of this, are they?
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Apologize. Ms. Madigan, with regard to this, they would also coordinate with administration as well as Minute.
Ms. Madigan.
On the technological perspective, pursuant to what Representative Nash has said, this strikes me as very eerily familiar to a couple of other programs that went awry over the last several years. And I'm just wondering what measures you've taken to avoid that type of a debacle.
Ms. Madigan.
Chair, members, we have not done any contract work, so we have not taken any measures. The Department of Administration, I do not believe, will be working directly with Minute on this. The application will be developed through the MNsure.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Albright.
Just a few more clarifying questions. So, Ms. Madigan, with the track and the speed with which this is moving through the legislature, knowing that it's very likely that this will again go to conference committee for a workout, and with a timeline of July 1 for full up and running implementation, is there any reason to believe that that is accomplishable?
Ms. Madigan.
Members and Chair, sorry, wrong
one. Okay.
The July 1st implementation will require significant time to prepare, and I believe the idea is that the bill passes quickly. I can't control that. I think that
Mr. Chair, if I might.
Representative Howard.
You know, had the legislature passed the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act last session, it'd be the law of the land. I just want to call out the fact that the biggest impediment to getting this up and running is us, the legislature. We need to pass this bill. As long as we do our work and work urgently to pass this bill, there is absolutely no reason why we can't get it set up by July 1st.
Representative Howard, would it be fair to say, or Ms. Madigan, that third-party administrators is nothing new? I know my local union, our multi-employer plan that's self-insured, we have to have a third-party administrator to administrate all of our doctor bills and pharmaceutical bills. So this is not, we're not reinventing the wheel here. This is something that's going on, that there are multiple companies out there that are doing this already.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Madigan.
Chair, that is my understanding.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Howard, you're right. And if you had accepted the amendment that Hamilton offered at the end of session, we would have been underway. But your party rejected it. So your comments ring hollow for me from the perspective of hanging this responsibility on us, when quite honestly, you had victory in hand. way back in April or May, and you decided to deny those that are urgently seeking this because of a decision on your part to weaponize this for the for a partisan objective. I have no more comments.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, I'll just leave most of that because I think the Minnesotans that are watching this have a clear idea about who is working to get this done and who is working to oppose it. If we listen to the Minnesotans that are here and are demanding action, the rest of it takes care of itself. This shouldn't be a partisan issue.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Deputy Commissioner. I'm trying to, as I listen to this, figure out this RFP process. So would it be legal for the department to now be talking to a provider about the RFP that hasn't been really legislated yet?
Ms. Madigan.
Chair, members, we've really had just initial conversations. We're not negotiating a contract to understand how third-party administrators work. That is really the work we've done to date so that we would be prepared to enter into conversations, discussions, contract with providers. Today I do not know who the provider will be.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the testifier again. But wouldn't it disadvantage other providers if indeed somebody was in on the conversation before you went to the RFP?
Ms. Madigan, and I think you said in your earlier in your testimony that you were talking with somebody we already do business with and are under contract with us for other insurance things. That's the way I heard what you said. Maybe I'm wrong, but Ms. Madigan.
Chair, members, that is correct. It is a vendor who is already under contract with the state. In addition, we would take steps to make sure that any information we had talked about, because it's really public information what's in the bill, was known by anyone.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I remember a conversation that I believe we had last year with the Department of Administration on the procurement of police cars and so forth, where the administration was kind of the same thing, where trust us. And that's why I'm going here, because I'm not against this bill. I'm not against people having insulin. But as Representative Albright was saying, I do remember asking for the fiscal note on MNLARS. There was none. MNLARS was a one-time appropriation for 3 years at $10 million from what I could determine. That's what we're doing here. We're setting up a one-time appropriation for so much money that's supposed to get this done, yet we don't know exactly what it's supposed to be unless there's been conversations with one vendor that's going to be favored. And that's where I'm at with this, is I'm questioning the process we're using. And then secondly, I guess to the testifier, what if we can't come in at $400,000 or less for the contract, then what happens?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Vogel, we've had conversations with the Department of Administration, and we believe this helps us accomplish the contract that we need to.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, but that doesn't answer my question. Unless there's been previous negotiation going on behind the scenes here, outside of what I would look at an RFP process, which would favor one vendor over another, we don't know what it's going to be. So the question is, we don't know what it's going to be. What if it comes in over 400,000? Where does this go from there?
Representative Howard.
Well, Mr. Chair, we'll have $400,000 to negotiate the contract, and the conversations that have been taking place lead us to believe that that will definitely suffice, and I'd let the Department of Administration
answer. Ms. Maddie.
Chair,
Maddie.
Members, I agree.
Representative Vogel, and if you remember, and I know we all love to beat on Minute and beat him over the head with MNLARS, but if you remember, MNLARS started well before Minute was even created, started under the Pawlenty administration, and turned into a mess from the beginning. So that I think we're comparing apples and oranges here, and maybe even apples and rutabaga. So that I think we're being unfair in that, in judging that by what happened with MNLARS. Representative Vogel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, but I didn't use the word minute. I used the example that there had been an appropriation in a bill for $10 million for 3 years that was going to complete this project, and hopefully it was going to work, and it obviously didn't. Bygones are bygones, but we're looking at doing the same thing here again, where we're giving a base appropriation for a certain amount of money, not knowing exactly what it's going to be, unless there's been negotiations before this bill was passed, which is going to favor one provider over another. And that was my questioning here, is not necessarily that we do something about insulin, but that we watch our process, because we can't keep going there. And I guess I'm still not getting an answer to my question. What if this goes over $400,000? Where is the money coming from?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chairperson Vogel, I'll maybe take one more crack at answering your question, in that there are pieces of the TPA arrangement. It's very narrow in terms of what this $400,000 is doing. In terms of processing the claims, it's a very narrow function we're asking from the Department of Administration. And, in doing that analysis and having the conversations, the $400,000 will anticipate that.
Representative Vogel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It appears I'm not going to get an answer on this, but I think you can see where I'm, hopefully you can see where I'm going with it. I guess the other question that I would have is, what happens in the second year?
And Representative Vogel, I think he gave you an answer. It may not be the answer you wanted to hear, but he gave you an answer. Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Vogel, it's only for the first year in the contract, because we want to get it set up, or the first iteration that we would go through this process. We'd have a full RFP proposal for the second contract.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that money is coming from where?
Representative Howard.
So the resources in the bill, we have setup costs, and then we also have a fee on insulin manufacturers in this bill paid through for the Healthcare Access Fund.
Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the author, I believe in the previous committee you stated that there is no other state that has this functionality. So is that still true? So there is no one that's used to or has done this insulin type program, software wise or vendor wise?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Quam, Minnesota would be the first state to have a Minnesota insulin program like this. However, very intentionally, we're developing a program that utilizes the existing infrastructure of how Minnesotans access their meds at the pharmacy. So it is a new program, but we're not using new processes. We're trying to use the existing process in place so that we can, one, accomplish what we need to do for patients, but also get something stood up quickly without reinventing the wheel.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So are you referring to all the different programs that the manufacturers have for low-income or uninsured people to receive free or low-cost insulin existing in the marketplace in Minnesota now?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Quam, I'm referring to, in particular, how we're processing the claims at the pharmacy level at that point of sale. Everyone who accesses this program to get an emergency supply of insulin will go to their pharmacy, will be able to have this is going to get technical, but they'll have something that has an RX bid number and a PCN number, and they're going to have their valid prescription, and they're going to present those two pieces of information to the pharmacist, and they will process the claim at the pharmacy level, give the patient their insulin. That's how virtually all pharmacy claims are currently processed, and we want to use that same infrastructure to do so here.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's going to be done with the same process that is currently being utilized by the manufacturers of insulin in Minnesota to provide free or low-cost insulin to uninsured and low-income people.
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Quam, that's not entirely true. One of the three insulin manufacturers don't have uniform programs to ensure Minnesotans have an emergency access supply of insulin where they can go into their pharmacy and get insulin that moment. And that's what this would do.
Representative Quam.
So the other two, it'd be utilizing the same exact structure and process as the other two manufacturers then? Because you brought up one of the three.
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, I didn't mean to bring up one of the three. All three have different programs that operate differently. And all three have had their own challenges with serving the needs of patients. Hopefully that answers your question.
Representative Quam.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. What I heard was we're going to use the same exact process that is already utilized. The author seemed to indicate that there are multiple processes and ways of doing this, which adds to some question as to the uniformity of the implementation with the vendor. And part of this, trying to understand that, is because in past cases where we have brought in outside vendors and integrated with any of our systems, and we touched on the Midlars, there's Minsure, where the back end was broken for several years. You know, Minlars, we had data corruption because of the way things were interfacing. And so it's not trivial to worry about the processes that could interject and not only not provide what we're looking for, but actually set us back and damage the data we have and the processes that we have in existence. And so I'm trying to get some reassurance from the author that the parties that are doing and setting this up are well-informed and knowledgeable, and that, you know, one word is, in the testimony was, oh, it's the same exact way that all this stuff is done, and then I'm hearing inquiring on specific things to insulin, because there are multiple different variations of insulin and manufacturers, that no, it's different for this one and different for that one. And so then there's the opening of unsureness and gray as to the precision at which this would be implemented. So I'm just trying to better understand what the author of the bill is telling me, what the admin person said that they had had discussions. Because this is not a trivial type situation. Anytime we touch our databases and our operating systems.
Representative Howard.
I don't know if there was a question there.
Representative Howard, I heard you earlier talking about that we're utilizing the existing system that the pharmacies and the pharmacies use to get reimbursed for the medication they give out, be it through the insurance companies, be it through current party administrators with insurance companies. That's what I heard you say. And I think the Representative Quam is saying that, well, the different insulin manufacturers each have their own programs, so how are we insulating, doing them the same when they're different? I didn't quite understand it always. Ms. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, the statement of my question earlier was, so we're utilizing the same processes that the existing insulin manufacturers have. And the author of the bill stated that, no, they're different. And then when I tried to get more clarity, apparently it's different for varying types of insulin, depending on the manufacturer. And so the first statement in general was it's going to be just the same as it's done now. And then querying about existing programs that are out there, I'm hearing that there's a difference between the way things are handled for, rebate, decreased costs, and et cetera. And because that is incongruent and consistent with the initial statement, that's why I was trying to get clarity, because we have to be sure of exactly what we're implementing.
And Representative, I think Representative Howard understands your question better now. Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Quam, I think you're confusing processes and programs. We're utilizing the process that the a third-party administrator would use to process a claim, pay the pharmacist, get a medication into the hands of a Minnesotan. In terms of the exact nature of the programs, who's eligible, how they're utilized, et cetera, that's a separate question. And we believe that this Minnesota-based program is a way to create a true safety net that does not currently exist so that Minnesotans can get the insulin they need when they need it.
Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to try and simplify this, and Representative Howard will slap me down if I get this wrong, but I think all we're talking about here is that when we put this program into effect, we will essentially be creating a very narrow, specialized drug formulary plan. We will accept applications through MnSure, but once someone is enrolled in the plan, it's just a health plan, a drug plan, like a Medicare Part D plan in effect. But it only covers insulin with a very limited audience. But from a pharmacist's point of view, it's just like the person presents their card. It's just like they're a member of any other health plan, except that this particular drug plan only covers emergency insulin. So there's nothing really that anyone has to do significantly in terms of developing software. It's just configuring a drug plan and the third-party administrator PBM's existing claims adjudication system. Did I get that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Elkins, you did get that right.
Representative Quam.
Thank you. If it is just like the Medicare Part D, are we going to have to follow the regulations, federal regulations on that augmentative plan, which prevent a portion of Minnesota residents from receiving this benefit? I think it's referred to as the donut hole issue. And are we going to be running afoul of any federal regulations? Just referencing what the Representative Elkins said.
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Quam, no, we won't be running afoul of any federal regulations regarding Medicare.
Representative Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. To the author, we had talked a little bit about costs incurred by the state, and reading through the bill, turn, if you would, to Section 7, lines 11.28, specifically around 11.31 through 12.2, if you would. Give you a second to get there.
Say that
again. Look at line 11.30 through 12.2. So it says, the Emergency Insulation Assistance Program established, blah, blah, blah. There will be any state appropriation for the Commissioner of Administration to reimburse pharmacies. So my question goes back to, there will be some cost incurred by the state, right? It's in your bill, so I'm assuming that you anticipated that. Just wondering, again, is that covered under the $400,000 one-time appropriation? Is that new money? Because, we're going to have to vote on this.
Yeah.
And we all want to make sure that folks are getting what they want, but earlier you said, nope, there's not, but now in the bill there is, and I'm just trying to figure out which is the answer, because nobody wants to be the next author of MnSure, MnLARS, or pick a Min thing. Nobody wants that. So I'm just asking if this is part of the 400, or is this other mysterious money coming from someplace?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nash, and I believe I had mentioned this previously, but the $400,000 will help the Department of Administration to do the initial setup, get the contract. We, in this bill, have a fee on the three large insulin manufacturers. Though that fee will be collected and utilized to cover the other, it's largely the cost of the insulin, but some of those other costs you just identified as well.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Howard. Or excuse me, Representative Nash.
So thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the author. So, once again, I'm going to come back to this. You're talking about costs that are incurred by the state. Is there any tracking inside of the state for any of these things? And somebody just answered for Siri. because if there is something inside the state's network, there is going to be something that the state has to do from a tech perspective. So I'm just coming back to this because I like to beat a good dead horse. You're appropriating money for the administration to track this. Certainly, there is something in there to handle the cost of all the different things that are likely to be stood up for that. And I'm just wondering, when does the $400K run out? Because, you know, to Representative Vogel's question, you know, I'm hoping that your $400K is a guarantee. It sounds kind of like a guarantee that that's all you're going to spend, but I'm doubtful of that. So,
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nash, for the Department of Administration, yes, there will be costs that MNsure will have to manage this program. Again, we're not asking a large IT build, et cetera, but there will be costs, and those costs, we have $500,000 going to MNsure as part of this bill. There will be other costs for MNsure, and those will be covered by the insulin manufacturer's fee.
Representative Nash.
I'm good for now.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Howard, kind of ironic that the Health Care Access Fund keeps coming back to haunt you. In Section 13, you make reference of transfers, $400,000 and $250,000 from the Health Care Access Fund for third-party administration, a public awareness campaign, as well as navigator training and reimbursement. But in the very next section, 16.5 through 16.12, which we deleted, it was intended that an amount was to be refunded back to the Health Care Access Fund at some point in the future. So will you ever make the Health Care Access Fund whole? And if so, where will that money come from?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Albright, could you restate the question? Sorry, I didn't follow exactly.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. On,
Representative Albright.
In Section 13, you reference $400,000 being appropriated from the Health Care Access Fund. On 15.27, you reference $250,000 being appropriated from the Health Care Access Fund. And on 16.1, you also reference an appropriation from the Health Care Access Fund. But the very next section, 16.5 through to 16.12, as I understand it from earlier, has been deleted. So where are you intending to make the Health Care Access Fund whole?
Representative Howard, and I believe this is kind of getting into HHS territory, but I'll let you answer.
It's a good question. Representative Chair, Mr. Albright, we will need to include a section related to MNsure costs, and we'll do that in the HHS Finance Committee.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So going back to the appropriation of $400,000 from the Health Care Access Fund for third-party administration, and I understand the administration itself is going to handle the adjudication of the contract and the legalese. What is the breakout in terms of what that $400,000 goes to in terms of how much goes to the third-party administration and how much goes to the administration? Because if the administration is responsible for this program from a contractual standpoint, what amount of that appropriation goes to pay for their time? And if so, how much time are they going to be expending working on this contract over the next 5 months?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Albright, I don't have the exact breakdown of that. I don't know if someone with the Department of Administration wanted to comment on it, but I don't have that level of breakdown. So the fiscal note will break down some of that. It is not finished yet. It should be in HHS Finance by tomorrow.
Mr. Chair, do we anticipate when that fiscal note will be provided to the chair, to the committee?
Representative Howard, I think, just said that they anticipate that will be ready for HHS tomorrow, which normally when they're published online, so it would be tomorrow when it's done. It would be access to us also.
Mr. Chair.
Our cost is $400,000.
Mr. Chair, in light of the fiscal note affecting what deliberations we have before this committee, would it be appropriate to consider bringing this back for a short meeting with regard to the fiscal note, given the fact that we have jurisdiction over the administration for their costs as well as for the contracting?
Representative Albright, I don't anticipate that. Our cost is the $400,000 that would be to the admin, which is what we oversee, and that's already spelled out in the bill, and we don't need to see it back here a second time to look at $400,000 a second time. Representative Jordan.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to request a roll for this.
Roll call has been asked for. Any further questions? Anybody in the audience would like to speak for or against this bill? Come on down to the dais. And please state your name for the tape and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Sherry Wiltrout. I'm here today because I'm a mother of two type 1 diabetic daughters. We live in Cambridge, and I'm also friends with Nicole Smith Holt, who lost her son Alec due to insulin rationing. I'm here to support this bill because I do believe it will save lives. I've seen this bill come all the way from Nicole's kitchen table through all the iterations it has been through and the bill before you today. There has been a lot of compromise that was done this summer. I've seen many wonderful ideas from both sides of the table that were brought together from the Senate, from the House, from the Democrats and Republicans to make this bill. Lots of wonderful things added in. So I would like to support this bill. I'd also like to comment on something that was mentioned earlier, talking about the manufacturers programs. And as a parent of diabetics, I've tried to navigate through the manufacturers programs. I've gone through two different manufacturers. There are three different ones. I've tried to navigate two of them, and I can't find anywhere on there where you can get emergency insulin within the day. I've found lots of programs that don't give you their eligibility guidelines. They tell you, print out this coupon and take it to your pharmacy, and maybe you can get up to $100 in savings. Or they're very vague. They do not spell out their eligibility. They don't even tell you once you're at the end and you put in all your information what you're saving. They just tell you, take this coupon and go see what happens. You know, it's like the coupons you get from Kohl's where you scratch it off and see what you save. I don't want to trust my daughter's lives to those programs because they're not effective. They don't work. I talk to a lot of Minnesotans with diabetes as an advocate for Insulin for All, and there are many of them who have tried to use those programs and have not gotten their insulin, and they end up seeking out people on social media, having GoFundMe campaigns. We go to our fridge and pull out insulin to give to people because they're going to die if they don't get it. So I urge you to please consider supporting this bill because it is a good compromise and it will save lives. Thank you.
Representative Knapp, did you have a question for the testifier? Or?
Not for the testifier,
okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Yep. Again, Mr. Chair, and to the author and to the other side of the aisle, nobody's saying that we don't want to help folks out. So the roll call, great, that's fine. But what I want to ask of the author is, so you're going to get a fiscal note sometime soon? What if the fiscal note comes in at $600,000, $700,000, or more? Legislative Budget Office, much to the credit of Representative Vogel here, is going to look at everything. They're going to look at all the costs that are associated with this. And having been on the receiving end of a minor change from technology that came back at a $22.6 million cost, which was later zeroed out miraculously, what I'm pointing out is that when you look at the cost of something, you don't just get to say, well, this sounds like a good number, and we'll throw that in the bill. So be aware that you might be voting tonight in favor of something that comes back at an incredibly higher fiscal note. And my question that has yet to be answered is, what are you going to do when your $400,000 might be eclipsed two, three times over? So, yeah, I'm not in favor of this right now because we haven't had a fiscal note. We don't know that your $400K is even accurate. And I don't think you can give us the assurance that that's exactly accurate. Can you?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, I think I've answered it the best way I can. The $400,000 is what they have to administer this contract. We also have a fee on insulin manufacturers that's going to cover other public costs. I don't know else what to tell you.
Okay. Mr. Howard, did you wish to speak on this bill? And again, is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak for or against this bill? Please state your name for the tape and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Rick Keller. I officially represent the twice exceptional people with print disabilities. Come to speak today on the 17th of February, state government finance. Specifically, as you choose these vendors, I provided you a handout and one of the other people for a timely reason. However, this sheet that's called MEAT, M-A-T, I use the Adobe Reader. It's not reading in order. That's one of your vendors. Also, if you go to the very back page, you'll find it was analyzed by the web analyzer that was recommended by the Minnesota Literature Library, and that page is not functionally accessible for people. So when people consider writing bills, we choose these third-party vendors, are we assuring that those web pages for ease and use are accessible for people with blindness and print disabilities? Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you, sir. Representative Mr. Hiller. And just so you know, these were not provided by the House. They were provided us by Pharma. We'll pass that information on to them.
Chair, if I may say, if you had a policy that would let a policy for your own purpose of this committee in the future that makes them aware about digital accessibility, then when they come, we are making it the third parties and the nonprofits and profits aware about what digital accessibility and how everybody can enjoy those services. Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Anybody else? Would you like to testify, please? Please state your name for the tape and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. My name is Emma Bonnewell. As of today, I've been a type 1 diabetic for 8 years. Speaking to the cost of things, I have watched insulin go up and up and up since I was 13. This morning, I went to pick up my insulin, and Walgreens does this fun thing where you can see the retail cost. For my 40-day supply of insulin, it would cost me $1,408.59. For a 20-day supply of insulin, it would cost me $619.99. There is no guarantee of what insulin will cost you because they change it on a whim. Because they take their patents and they renew them and they change something very slight so that they can raise that cost. There's no guarantee that it will stay the same. So you can argue for a budget, you can argue against a budget, but we have no budget because we're dying. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else like to speak for? Why don't you both come on down and line up?
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee.
Please state your name for the tape.
My name is Nathan Lowy, and I have been a type 1 diabetic for 30 years. I'm the father to Jet, who has been type 1 for 3 years, and friend to dozens of insulin-dependent diabetics across the state. I'm here today to testify in support of the Alex Smith Insulin Affordability Act. Insulin dependency is something that we all deal with 24/7, 365. Every single one of you in this room is also insulin dependent. If you aren't diabetic, your pancreas produces yours naturally. However, if you are diabetic, you must manually inject insulin in order to live. This insulin, which is naturally occurring to you, retails for $300 or greater for one vial, which lasts me 1 week. My total cost annually is $14,400. For Jet, it's $13,000. That's over $27,000 annually, which equates to $13.18 out of each hour's work, or $105 out of every day's pay just to remain living. If our bodies don't have the correct insulin they need, a varying array of complications set in rapidly. A normal blood glucose for a non-diabetic is under 100 fasting and under 140 following food consumption. A diabetic has an American Diabetes Association suggested range of 80 to 180. Higher numbers lead to DKA, or a starvation of the body's cells. At a blood glucose of roughly 225, or 45 points higher than the upper range from the ADA, your body begins a process called osmotic diuresis, which causes your kidneys to work harder to dump the excess glucose, which with it goes electrolytes, including but not limited to sodium and potassium. At a blood glucose of roughly 300, or triple the normal range if you're fasting, your body begins to convert fatty acids to energy. This is the development of keto acids, or ketones. Once this begins, the pH level of your blood begins to drop. Deep and rapid respiration is commonly seen in an effort to release acetones, and in doing so, reduces carbon dioxide and carbonic acid, which also contributes to the lowering of the pH of your blood. With the aforementioned progress, due to a lack of proper amounts of the correct form of insulin, or insulin in general, your cells are begin to be starved of necessary nutrients to survive. Keto acids are often found in victims of starvation. Essentially, your body is going through a much more rapid process of starvation. The timeline of these issues progressing to a diabetic coma and death will vary based on a variety of factors, including if you have already been rationing. My body, my personal body, has gone through, it has gone from normal numbers to 600 plus, or six times the average high end if you're fasting, in a matter of 4 to 5 hours. My son has gone through the same process in about 6 hours. In a best case scenario, illness will set in within 12 hours, DKA in 24, and death within 2 to 10 days. On occasion, someone can live on for an extended amount of time while rationing or on the wrong insulin, like human insulin. In these cases, the results still remain the same. They are simply prolonged. The most recent public case of this occurring happened to Josh Wilkerson, who lived in Virginia with his type 1 fiance, and in an effort to save money, he switched to the over-the-counter human insulin while having his fiance stay on the insulin that worked best for both of them, the same insulin that cost me $14,400 to stay alive annually. The result for Josh Wilkerson? He died in 27 days. I would like every person in this room to ask themselves, would you be able and willing to tell your loved one that their life is not valuable enough to protect? I truly hope that you all can say that you value Minnesotans over manufacturers, as you were elected to serve the people of Minnesota, not the profits of multi-billion dollar companies, two of which are not headquartered in the United States. Lastly, I've heard many people suggest that manufacturer programs are a solution to this crisis. Let me tell you that if they worked, we would not be here. There are countless stories of diabetics contacting the manufacturers, seeking emergency assistance, and either being turned away or having to wait over a week for an answer. Additionally, most of these programs, even the ones that are not restricted by income guidelines, take time to apply for. You have to have the manufacturer review the information and send out an approval if you're approved. Manufacturers are also only open 5 days a week. Diabetics have diabetes 24/7, 365. And they're open for only limited hours a day. A Friday evening emergency would end in death if we are forced to wait until Monday to even talk to a company representative, much less get approved for a program that we may or may not be approved for. Time is something we do not have in an emergency. Thank you for allowing me to speak today and for listening to my testimony.
Thank you for your testimony. Again, please state your name for the tape. Proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Committee. My name is Maria Isa Perez Hedges. I'm a artist, mother, wife, proud Minnesotan, and have been type 1 diabetic since I was 16 years old. I'm stating my age because that was 16 years ago. We're here because this is an emergency. An emergency means we need help immediately. If the situations that I've been saved from, they're not guaranteed that I'll be saved from having a vial break and be able to get a new vial immediately that I need. That's why we're here. We're here because we need insulin. I shoot up insulin maybe 10 times a day, two different types of insulins. They switch from what can get covered like a blink of an eye at times. I'm worried about if I'll have enough insulin after what I have now in my fridge. regardless, because programs keep shifting. That $5, $50, all those rebates, I've seen those since I was a college student off my parents' insurance, saying, what do I do? My parents struggling when I was a college student and recognizing that they couldn't do any more than what they could. Asking a community, a village, as a Latina in the state of Minnesota, I have several Latinos. I'm not an endocrinologist. I'm not a physician. I'm a proud artist and youth worker, but I'm also a type 1 insulin diabetic, so I know that if they need help, my phone's right there. But I shouldn't have to be the emergency call when my nephew, who is 16 years old, has a malfunction with his insulin. And his doctors can't prescribe on a Saturday night, so his mother calls me. I shouldn't have to be working as the Walgreens or the CVS. Thankfully, my doctors, some of the best endocrinologists of the state, have helped me in situations because they don't want to see another patient of theirs die. We're here because, and we call this emergency because it is an emergency. But unfortunately, 911 doesn't give us free insulin. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else? If not, any other questions? If not, I renew my motion that House File 3100, as amended, be referred to HHS Finance. All in favor, take, we got a roll call, so the clerk will take the roll.
Roll call vote on HF 3100. 3100. Chair Nelson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Cleavorn.
Yes.
Representative Albright.
No.
Representative Akam.
Yes.
Representative Elkins.
Yes.
Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Green.
No.
Representative Hertas.
No.
Representative Hewitt.
Yes.
Representative Jordan.
Yes.
Representative Peel.
No.
Representative Lippert.
Yes.
Representative Long.
Yes.
Representative Mason.
Yes.
Representative Nash.
No.
Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Quam.
No.
Representative Vogel.
No.
The vote being 11 ayes and 7 nays, the motion passes and the bills being referred to HHS Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Next meeting is tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Hope to see you all here bright and early. With that, members, we're adjourned.